Gilded Gold. Written by Niraj Siki. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Mo Dao Zu Shi, or The Untamed. Rating explicit. Relationship Jun Sichuan, Meng Yao. Warning for rape, non-consensual sex. Also tagged for, mentioned when Rohan Nie Mingchue, mentioned Jin Sichuan Jiang Yan Li. Bad guys made them do it. Half-sibling incest. Adult content. Dirty talk. Voyeurism. Kinky. Alternate universe, canon divergence. Forced exhibitionism. Forced orgasm. Internalized misogyny. Mentions of forced prostitution. And rape / non-con elements. Meng Yao had spent years not thinking of Jin Sichuan as anything other than an obstacle in the way of his ultimate goal, his father's recognition, himself as the heir and eventual master of Lanling Jin, and he bitterly resented Wen Rohan for trashing all that effort. It was impossible to keep the image of Jin Sichuan that he'd had in his mind before, the spoiled, arrogant princeling, in the same make as Wen Chao. Less a human being than a statue of gilded gold, all fancy clothing and flawless appearance. There was nothing of that now. There was nothing arrogant about the frightened young man on his knees in front of him, chains carved with suppression arrays around his body. They'd been designed for a much stronger cultivator than he. When Rohan's mind lingering too often on his chief most enemy in the war, Nie Mingchue, and Jin Sichuan was as helpless beneath them as a lamb, shivering in blind terror at being taken away from all he knew dear. His retainers had all been taken off to the fire palace, or killed where they knelt, their corpses dragged off, leaving smears of blood on the ground, and only he remained. Meng Yao's envy. His brother. His mother had always wanted to give him a brother, he abruptly recalled, and hated Wen Rohan all the more for making him remember it. Her womb had closed after him, such that she couldn't try for another even if she'd wanted to, but she daydreamed about him making friends with the legitimate sons, her sect leader. That was how she always called him. Her sect leader would undoubtedly have, pointlessly giving him advice on how to make friends with them, impress them, and make them like him. Not this. Never anything like this. "Look at the gift I got for you, Meng Yao," Wen Rohan said, smiling. "A twin from another womb. Born on the same day as you, but unlike you, planted in the legitimate belly, and so hoarded like a treasure. I would wager that you wish you could peel his skin off and wrap yourself in it, wear it back to Lanling Jin." Meng Yao smiled. "Sect leader Wen does me too much honor. This lowly one does not deserve such a gift." We may be born on the same day, but I'm 3 years older than him, and my mother isn't a disgusting, vicious old hag like Madame Jean. How dare you compare them?
And yet I have chosen to give it, Wen Rohan said, brooking no disagreement as always. You do such fine work in my fire palace, Meng Yao, with strangers who have never looked at you twice. I cannot wait to see what marvels you will accomplish with a target you actually abhor. Which of your fine instruments will we try on him first? Should we break his spirit by removing his sword hand, or cut off Jing Guangshan's hopes along with his balls?
He laughed, endlessly amused by himself. Meng Yao smiled along. Mother wanted me to be his friend, and mentally ran through his options as fast as he could. He couldn't risk angering Wen Rohan, not when the other man held the entirety of the Nightless City in the palm of his hand. Not when the only thing keeping Meng Yao himself out of the fire palace and strung up on his own instruments of torture was the quality of his service. I will, of course, not disappoint the sect leader, he says smoothly, and pretended to ignore the way Jin Sichuan flinched, with his face so similar to his own, to the face his mother had loved so foolishly.
Only...
Meng Yao ducked his head bashfully. The sect leader is too generous to me. It makes me go beyond myself. I start to think things I should not. When I was young... Ugh, but it doesn't matter.
Don't equivocate, Wen Rohan ordered, but his attention was caught, as Meng Yao had intended. What were you going to say?
It's only that when I was young... My mother would tell me stories of Lan Ling Jin, Meng Yao said, and hated Wen Rohan for making him have to share such things. Her hope was that my father would accept me as his recognized son, but failing that, she had always assumed he would take me at least as a servant for the one he already had.
He didn't need more than that. Wen Rohan got it right away. And so, once you were rejected, you dreamed of the opposite, is that it?
It would satisfy this lowly one's most fervent dream, sect leader.
Wen Rohan smiled, but it was not a pleasant smile. It was full of hidden dangers.
Ah, Meng Yao, you dare to dream so high. There's only one problem with your suggestion that I see. This well-born child, this treasure of Lan Ling, what possible servant could he make? His hands are so clean and soft, he would not be able to do manual labor, nor even sweep your floor. What possible use could you make of him?
The answer came to Meng Yao at once, and he hated himself this time, even as he responded with a pleasant smile. Well, sect leader, in the absence of any other use, I could always have him serve me in bed.
Wen Rohan burst out laughing, caught by surprise. He loved the idea, of course, as Meng Yao knew he would. Wen Rohan was a man with esoteric tastes. He enjoyed torturing and humiliating his enemies, and the prouder the man, the more he longed to ruin them. Even within the time Meng Yao had worked in his fire palace, he had seen Wen Rohan offer a brother his family's freedom if only he would forcefully take his sister's purity, which the unfortunate man had done, weeping piteously all the while. Yes, Wen Rohan loved the idea, and because of that, Meng Yao had a chance of saving Jin Sichuan's miserable life that he'd only need to later end. If he was to truly achieve all of his desires. He would, too. He wouldn't hesitate to end Jin Sichuan's life as it served his ends. Just not like this.
My mother wanted us to be friends.
Very well, Wen Rohan said, waving his hand. You may have him as your bed warmer.
Meng Yao had not even begun to salute in thanks when he added,
But before you accept such a gift, you should try it out. Meng Yao was not so foolish as to let his smile freeze. Here, sect leader? Why not here? It may as well be witnessed. Like a marriage, he meant. And Meng Yao hated him. Of course, sect leader, Meng Yao said. And this time he completed the salute, bowing deeply, and made his way over to his hapless younger brother, who was shaking like a leaf, just as unable to flee. Meng Yao knelt before him and began to open his clothing, taking a moment to lean forward and hiss in his ear. Keep your mouth shut. Play along and you will live. Resist and you will die. It was neither a threat nor a reassurance, but merely fact. But Jin Sichuan clearly needed the words, needed to think that there was someone here on his side, however illusionary the sensation was. Whatever he was thinking, it worked. Jin Sichuan stopped trying to fight and submitted as best he could, even if he couldn't help but flinch any time a new piece of flesh was exposed. He was quivering like a quail, and Meng Yao sighed and reached for his half-brother's cock, making him squeak in an undignified fashion as he started stroking it. Is that entirely necessary? Wen Rohan asked, sounding bored. I intend to get plenty of use out of him, sect leader, Meng Yao replied, his tone equally bored, as if this were merely a chore, even as Jin Sichuan's cock unwillingly started swelling up beneath his palm. If I tear him up the first time I bed him, I'd have to stitch him up and wait for him to heal before I can take him again, lest I want to risk his death. And there's only one legitimate heir, isn't there? Wen Rohan chuckled. I suppose so. Besides, Meng Yao continued, because he knew he had to keep Wen Rohan's interest. There's some fun in this as well. Look how responsive he is. Getting hard for me already. He's tied up in chains and bared for half the world to see, and all he cares about is his dick. Reasonable for a son of a pleasure lover like Jingguangshan, Wen Rohan agreed, and he sounded much less bored now. Your shared father. Our shared father, Meng Yao agreed, and reached down with his free hand to open his own robes, pulling out his own cock. Would you like to see how similar we are? He lined himself up next to Jin Sichuan. They really were similar, in both look and size, and Wen Rohan laughed as Meng Yao shifted over to pleasuring them both at the same time. Jin Sichuan had his lips pressed tightly together, but he couldn't help the little whimpers and mules that broke free now and again, nor the way his hips bucked up under Meng Yao's skillful work. He wasn't the first man Meng Yao had pleasured like this, and, if anything, he seemed almost unexpectedly inexperienced. Meng Yao would have assumed that Jin Sichuan, as Jin Guangshan's son, would have had his fill of brothels by this age, have fucked every hole in every way that whores offered for sale, and then some. But perhaps his jealous bitch of a mother wouldn't let him. Certainly, it didn't take very long before he was coming helplessly in Meng Yao's hands. Did you like that, brother? Meng Yao asked him, and Jin Sichuan looked at him in betrayal. You came so quickly. You liked having your brother's hands on you, didn't you? The same blood as yours. They say mine is less pure on account of your mother being born in a palace and mine in a brothel. But in the end, it seems that you're the one that turned out the whore. Jin Sichuan's face was red and flushed, but he didn't say a word, didn't resist as Meng Yao pushed him down and spread his legs, merely grunted when Meng Yao slid his fingers, slicked with his own cum, into him one at a time. You're tight here, which is to be expected, Meng Yao continued, aware of their audience, the one on the throne being the only one that mattered, although there were plenty of guards watching avidly as well. I doubt anyone's ever made use of you before, unless our shared father has even more interesting tastes than I thought. Jin Sichuan flushed even redder and shook his head furiously.
No? Then let your older brother be the first.
Jin Sichuan's body was involuntarily relaxed after his orgasm, and Meng Yao was in a hurry, knowing that he couldn't draw this out too long, lest Wen Rohan grow bored. He stretched him roughly, making as much space as best he could, then put his cock at his entrance. Before he did anything more, he reached over and grabbed Jin Sichuan by the hair, forcing him to bend forward so he could see Meng Yao's cock about to breach him. At the brothel, they say a woman always remembers her first man. They say it's because her body shapes itself to him, molding the inside to accommodate him, never to be the way it was before, making her the perfect fit for his cock and no one else's, no matter how many others she might one day take. I've heard the same is true for men. What do you think, little brother? Are you ready to take me into you? Are you ready to watch as I turn you into something fit only for me? Jin Sichuan couldn't tear his tear-filled eyes away. Meng Yao pushed in, and Jin Sichuan whined high and loud and pathetic. It didn't stop Meng Yao at all, pushing in inexorably. Jin Sichuan was hot and tight about what he thought he'd be, same as anyone else. There wasn't any magic to incest, no matter how much it got Wen Rohan off. It got Meng Yao off, too, but he'd be a very poor whore's son indeed if he didn't know how to separate business and pleasure. And this was a performance. Would he say such ridiculous words that no one would believe if their dicks weren't hard otherwise? Fuck, you're tight, he said, because he knew Wen Rohan liked to hear it. And maybe also because he liked the way it made Jin Sichuan have to turn his face away in shame. You really were a virgin, weren't you? Look at you, giving yourself to me like a bride on her wedding night, taking me all inside of you. What a good little bed warmer you're going to be. He settled in all the way, hips pressed against warm flesh, and enjoyed the sensation of Jin Sichuan futilely clenching around him in an attempt to get him out. I'll teach you all the tricks to please me, he said, starting to rock back and forth, moving in and out. Every morning you'll present yourself to me to use, every evening too. And if I get bored in the middle of the day, I'll use your mouth. Once I've gotten you properly broken in, I'll rent you out to anyone who asks. I bet you'd like that, wouldn't you? Make you a good little whore, and me the master. Make you earn on your back that gold you've always worn as if you deserved it. He was thrusting in earnest now, Jin Sichuan's legs around his waist, and to his amusement, it looked like Jin Sichuan was getting hard again. It wasn't really a surprise, a natural reaction to the strange and confusing sensations he was enduring, none of which said anything as to whether or not he was enjoying himself at all. But Meng Yao dropped his hand onto Jin Sichuan's cock yet again. See, you're halfway to a whore already, he mocked, getting hard on Big Brother's cock like a good boy. Good and obedient. You're going to come with my cock inside you, and belong to me forever. Jin Sichuan was whimpering, tears streaming down his face. But it still didn't take long for him to come. Meng Yao finished shortly after. He allowed himself a few moments to enjoy the sensation, and then pulled out, pulling Jin Sichuan's leg up so that Wen Rohan could see the cum dripping out of his abused hole. Well done, Wen Rohan said, clapping. His eyes were avid. Well done indeed. As always, Meng Yao, your craftsmanship is exquisite. You may keep him. Although, perhaps another show might be in order soon enough.
Of course, sect leader, Meng Yao said, and snapped his fingers for a guard to take Jin Sichuan to his room. Sad and miserable and pathetic, but still alive. Just as he'd promised. Naturally, the situation of keeping Jin Sichuan as his personal pet wasn't tenable in the long run,
And so it was only a few days later when Meng Yao kneeled in front of Wen Rohan and said, "Sect leader, I have an idea for something we can do with Jin Sichuan."
"I'm listening," Wen Rohan said lazily. "What do you have in mind?"
"I have left him alone and isolated in my bedchamber these past few days, growing increasingly nervous and paranoid," Meng Yao said. "I propose to allow him to escape with some information to deliver to Sect Leader Lan, who will believe his peer well above he might believe some anonymous sender of notes. And he, in turn, will pass the information along to Sect Leader Nia."
Wen Rohan's eyes lit up in immediate interest, as Meng Yao had expected. He was always keen to hear any word about Nia Mingchue.
"I believe this mechanism will allow us to lure Sect Leader Nia into a trap," Meng Yao said. "And then..." He let his eyes drift over to the chains that had so recently housed Jin Sichuan.
"Do as you suggest," Wen Rohan ordered at once. What did one little Jin Sichuan matter to him, next to the possibility of gaining a Nia Mingchue?
Meng Yao saluted and left. It was settled then. Jin Sichuan would be let go and make his way back to the great sect side of the war. They would both put this unfortunate incident out of their heads, and life would carry on as if nothing happened.
Years later, when Zhang Yanli coaxed Jin Guangyao into a bedroom where Jin Sichuan waited, shivering in a completely different way, it finally occurred to him that he hadn't told Jin Sichuan that was the plan, and also, perhaps, that the other man lacked his own talent for compartmentalization. But in the end, it all turned out all right anyway. Even if it did mean he'd need to revamp his plans for conquering the Jin sect to find a way to keep his new pet alive in the long run. Damn, Wen Rohan. It was all his fault. The end.
If you enjoyed this podfic, you can leave feedback both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!